Aaron Schaefer.
We can go to Joshua, chapter 10.
So I was supposed to teach last weekend. It's going to be the Thanksgiving fellowship, but thankfully we're alive, but we had the stomach flu run through the house. And then it's finally out. Yesterday was the last day. Olivia was the lone straggler. So I was going to teach on being thankful for Thanksgiving. So I'm going to teach that this time. So I taught some of this stuff at the family camp we did this year, or this last summer. But then I came across this little handout I'm going to hand out when Jim gave it to me and said, hey, here's a handout on Thanksgiving. You read it. So he wrote this in 2010. We're going to go over it too. But I thought we'd start with just some things that bless me from the Word that I'm always thankful for. And so and we're going to read through this chapter 10 fairly quickly because I'm just going to make a point out of this thing. But this is when the five kings joined together and they went and they're attacking. What place was that they were attacking? Gibeon? And they called for Joshua and them to come down and help them because they had made an alliance with Joshua. And so, God, it's a really cool story if you want to go and read through it, because God comes in there and he wipes these people out with giant hail and just wears out the five kings. And then Joshua and those guys are fighting, but they needed more time. They're running out of time. So let's look at let's see. Yeah, we don't have to read it all. I just kind of summed it up. But then we'll start in verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like it before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of the Lord, voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So God made the sun stand still. Now, I don't particularly know how he would do that, because would the earth have to stop spinning, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the sun stayed with the earth. I don't know how that happened. But that's pretty nuts. Let's go to let's go to Psalm 74. And I was reading this one morning, and I just wanted to share this because it just dawned on me when I was going through that stuff with Joshua. And then I read through this psalm, Psalm 74, verse 16. The day is yours, the day is thine. Are we there? Mm-hmm. And the night is also thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. And it just dawned on me that morning that this is all his. The sun's his, the earth's his. We don't have to wake up and the sun rises. It's his. We're lucky. It just made me really thankful that every day is another day. Mm-hmm. And that God has given me a life. He's given me breath. He's created this whole thing for us to enjoy. He's given us a function in every day. I was just thinking, well, you could stop it at any time, really. Mm-hmm. You could be like, screw it. Yeah, I'm done. Let's move on. But he doesn't. He doesn't. Every day, it's a new day. We get to enjoy a new, fresh breath of air. We get to see another sunrise. And then I'm going to read Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. It says, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." It is of his mercies we're not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. This is why he keeps it all spinning. He keeps it all going. His mercies, his compassions, Amplified actually translates that mercies as loving kindness. It is of the Lord's loving kindness that we are not consumed. He just loves us. And I really, after I did that, I was so thankful for every single day. And not really too worried about much. Because if I'm just blessed to have another day, then what the heck really are you going to worry about? I could have nothing. He could have never even made me. But he did. He created us. And he keeps it going every day. It is of the Lord's mercies, his loving kindness, that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He's faithful to us every day. We see that sunrise. We know God is faithful. We know we have another wonderful day to live with him. Thank you, God, another day. I get another day to enjoy your word. My life, my family, our family. That's a blessing. We get to have a family. My friends, my job, my dog, sometimes. Thank you, God, for creating it all and allowing me to enjoy it. And thank you for keeping it all going. Isn't that something? Just a nice perspective to have. Let's go to Psalms 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up so late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, and this is why I was reading this, children are an heritage of the Lord, or a gift. A heritage is translated gift in my other translations. It's a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, God is blessed. He set it up so wonderful. I mean, how much joy do you get from your children? He set that up so we could have that as a blessing. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty one, so are children of the youth. I don't really understand why their children are considered arrows, but maybe they work.
Maybe they
listen. It's something they understand. The more arrows you got, the better off you are.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah, the more arrows you got in your quiver. Mm-hmm. So as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. So happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. So I just thought that was cool. You know, God blessed us with family. And he's blessed us with the ultimate family of God, because it's the eternal family. Let's go to Psalms 121. So these are just things I was grateful for and thankful for. So I thought I'd share them with you guys. And then we're going to move into another little half of this thing. This one, I put it in here for Mary. Because we'll get to it. So 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Or I translate that mountains. And when we first moved here, you know, I was, you know, freaked out. Like a son to come here. Yeah, I had to find work. I was really nervous about being able to take care of the kids and Kelly and finding work. I told her, I said, look, if I can't start the business, I'll shovel crap. I said, but you'll eat and your rent will be paid. She's like, okay. So anyways, I got in on a Friday night at about 11 o'clock, stayed at a hotel. Then Saturday morning early, I had to wake up and drive up to Denver, pick up the girls from the airport because they flew in. I drove from Georgia pulling the trailer. And So Saturday, I picked them up. We went over to Jim and Jones. I think we just hung out there. I don't remember exactly what we did. We went back to Danielle's house, where what we're renting. And our furniture was being shipped in on a semi, movers, so it wasn't going to be there till, we didn't know when, but it was, we didn't know, but it wasn't going to be there Saturday or Sunday. But I really just wanted to work. I was like dying to get out and work, because I needed to, you know, make money, pay for the kids. And so even after fellowship Sunday, I was ready to work Saturday, the next day, but I had to pick up the girls, and yeah, we had stuff to do. Sunday, we went to fellowship, and afterwards, I hadn't been driven around town, but for once, when we came out a month earlier, I drove down to Motor City, but I didn't know anything else, so I typed in BMW. So I was like, that would be like my cherry, if I could get BMW. And so I typed it in on my phone. It was right down the street from fellowship. So we drove there Sunday. They're closed on Sunday, but we sat in the parking lot, prayed over the lot, claimed it in the name of Jesus. And then Monday came, and I would go out in the morning real early and walk and just talk with God and be like, okay, you got, I mean, I'm in full trust mode. Like, I got no clue what to do. Like, you really got to show me what to do. So it's like, should I go to work? Should I go to work today? Should I go try to get work? And he's like, no. Take it easy. Okay. So we just hung out, played with the kids, drove around, had fun, you know, try to break them into Colorado nice, you know, take care of them. So we did that Monday. Tuesday, early in the morning. God, what do I do? Do I need to go to work? No. Stay here. I said, okay. But I'm like chomping at the bit.
I'm starting to sweat now.
Yeah. I'm feeling the tension. I feel like doing this thing.
And then our furniture showed up that day, so that was good. Wednesday morning, again, nice and early. God, what do I do? I said, go to work. I said, oh, yes, sir. And so it was about 8:30. I was ready, left the house. And right before I left, I said, Kelly, where should I go? She goes, BMW. I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, should I start there? I was like, I could probably pick up, you know, some little counts, you know, it'd be real easy. And she's like, this is what we prayed about. We went there. She's like, go to BMW, idiot. I was like, okay, I'll go to BMW. So I get on, head down Powers, get on Dublin. And I don't know, I think it's right after Rangewood, you come up the hill to another light. And so I'm freaking out on my way. I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? And I'm like flipping through the station, so I found some black gospel station. They're singing away, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to listen to this. And right when I came up over that hill, the guy's like has this big crescendo in the song. It's like, you made the mountains. And then I see the Pike's Peak. And, you know, it was very new to me, the mountains at that time, too. And I'm like, you made the mountains. So Psalms 121, I will lift mine eyes unto the mountains. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. And then to the end of the story, I show up at BMW and I had the account instant. Which, there's guys that have been working here doing what I do for 20 years. How can I move in the first day? I didn't deserve it. These guys have put in their time here, built relationships, a reputation. I had nothing. But my help cometh from the Lord, verse 2, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee, he doesn't sleep. He's not going to slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. This is for Mary. So you don't got to worry about us guys out there working. The Lord is our shade. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. So I just wanted to share this because I always use this because I'm out and everybody always tries to throw in my face that you're outside all day, you're going to get skin cancer. I'm like, you listen here. The Bible says the sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Isn't that cool? Let's go two books to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 5. And we'll start, and this is just another thing I'm thankful for. This is all I'm doing. I'm just reading through different things I'm thankful for. And I thought you might be blessed with them too. Chapter 5, verse 15. Am I in the right spot? Oh, yeah. Okay. And as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. And we're talking about, I love this book. Everything's so vain, and it all is so vain, really, compared to God. It's just, you know, we came forth naked. We're going to go back naked. And we're not taking anything with us when we die, which he may carry away. We can't carry away anything in our hand. And this also is a sore evil. Worked so hard all our lives. That in all points as he came, shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? He did all that for nothing. All his days also he eats in darkness. He has much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, that which I have seen. You know what it is? And I'm thankful God put this in here. It's good and comely for one to eat and drink. Eat food. Eat some good brisket. Smoke it for a day. And drink by the good wine, you know. And to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun, all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. So, I'm thankful for that. Thanks, God, putting that in there. Work hard, play hard, eat good. All right, let's see. Okay, I'm going to pass these things out here. I made 17 of them. So if we could share. I don't know how many people would come. Okay. So this is the thing Jim wrote about Thanksgiving in 2010. And I thought we'd just go through and read it together. Just because it makes some decent points for a white guy, you know? He's pretty good. And so, you know, why don't we, let's do our Tuesday night around the room reading. So if you want to start, just read a couple paragraphs and Tom can take over or somebody else.
Thankfulness is an attitude that we are to cultivate, and thanksgiving is an action that we are to perform in everything.
Yeah, and I really like that, because thanksgiving and thankfulness is an attitude that you've got to cultivate. Mm-hmm. It's not a normal state of mind for natural man to be thankful. And I like that thanksgiving is an action that we are to perform in everything. So we live from that thankfulness. Our actions proceed out of it, because we ought to be staying in this constant form of thank you, God, for making the sun come up again. Mm-hmm. You know, so that ought to be where we live out of. Okay, go ahead.
You want to read that note?
I just kind of did.
Okay. It is a great time to remember what God has delivered us from, being dead in trespasses and sin. It is also a great time to be thankful for all of what has been freely given to us through the accomplished work of Christ Jesus. Of all the holidays of the year, Thanksgiving may be the greatest. It should be incorporated into our lives more as a daily pattern than once a year reminder. that we are to be thankful for all God has done for us.
The giving of thanks to God for his divine favor can be traced back to the dawn of human history. Thanksgiving of many kinds have marked the progress of men and nations from the days of antiquity. The greatest day of thanksgiving in the Old Testament was the commemoration of the Passover, which foreshadowed the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Passover feast was celebrated every year to remind God's people of the deliverance from the angel of death who, quote-unquote, passed over the firstborn of the Israelites one night in Egypt. It was also to serve as a constant reminder that the true Messiah was still coming.
In the New Testament, Thanksgiving is not an event or special day, but rather a manner of life. We are to express thankfulness continuously. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is really a command from God for us to be thankful. We can be thankful for what we have, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. God has given us an eternal life spirit, and he is sending his son back for us, no matter how tough it gets.
Somebody else, Charlie?
It must be available to live with the mindset of thanksgiving rather than by the way most people live, complaining about everything.
Yeah, and that's going to be key. We're going to see.
Wonderland.
Yes. Complaining. Complaining. We're going to look at complaining. Yeah. So go ahead.
2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Greek word for imaginations is logismos, meaning counting, computing, calculations, as in arithmetic. I means great, elevating, towering.
The extended literal translation for this verse is demolish your human logic from the high position to which you have lifted vertically against the knowledge of God, which you have known by experience. Be wise. Leave captive everything to Christ, which you have attentively listened to and heard. Having an attitude of thankfulness is a key to controlling what you think, to bringing into the captivity of your thought. By controlling what you think, you can train your mind to be thankful in everything.
Yeah, and he says it's a key. I circled that because it's a very big key to the renewed mind, which is what I was going to get at, is the thankfulness and the renewed mind are very, very important. Because what's the alternative to being thankful? What I underlined on the last page? Complaining, unthankful. And when you're complaining, when you're unthankful, are we keeping our minds focused on God's goodness, on what God can do, on the big picture of eternal life? Are we keeping our mind focused on that stuff, or are we focusing on this little thing that we're complaining about? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I wanted to take some time and look at this chapter, at least the first little part of it, because we're gonna spiritualize the Exodus. And the only reason I do that is because God does it right here. I'm not going to try to look for extra little things, but God does give an illustration of why he did it as he did and what all the, you know, a lot of little things meant and how they relate to our life, our day and time in the grace administration, because he was leading them into the land of promise, and we've been led to the land of promise spiritually through Jesus Christ, an eternal land of promise, not just a temporal one. So let's start in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. So if we remember the story, they were under the cloud, right? They were led by a cloud by day and fire by night, kept them shady in the day, warm at night. And they passed through the sea. They passed through the Red Sea. That's what it's talking about, the crossing with Moses. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So they were baptized into Moses in the cloud in the sea, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now, were they eating spiritual meat? I mean, it was physical, right? It was manna. It was spiritual, though. It was representation. They drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Well, what did they drink out of? They drank out of, from, what did Moses, I think he whacked it in a crack?
The rock.
Right? It was a big rock. It had to have been really big. It had to pour out enough for a couple million people. So that's the rock. That was Christ. That was what he was saying. Christ would give you the fountain of living waters, you know. It was all to point towards Christ. So they drank from that spiritual rock. They ate from the spiritual meat. And they were baptized unto Moses. They were baptized. Now, when you say, what is baptism? It's really, it's just a washing. I think the Greek word is baptizo. And it's used for washing hands and different things. And so they were cleansed. They were baptized unto Moses through the cloud, through the sea. They were cleansed. God washed Egypt off of them. Washed the stank of Egypt off of them. And if you really think about it, what was the stench of Egypt? It was slavery, bondage, all that. So God washed them. They're free. They've been set free because they saw it happen. They really did get set free. Pharaoh and his entire army, we'll read about it, was crushed. But what happened? Verse 5. With many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness, or cast down, or they died. Many of them were killed in the wilderness. Now, let's go to, you can keep your finger here, but we're going to go to Numbers. And I want, just want to read what happened. We're going to go to Numbers 14. So you can see a little bit. We're not going to spend too much time. In verse 26, we'll start. So, verse 14:26. Okay, this is when I got this right. This is right after they get the report, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was thinking it was right when after they gave the law. This was right after they came back with the evil report, the 10, and Caleb and Joshua were the only two that gave the good report. So we're going to start in verse 26. Now, here's the point for complaining. Look what happens to you in your life. Look what happens if you're not looking towards God. Look what happens if we're not keeping our mind renewed. That's why thankfulness is so important to that renewed mind and that continued trust so that we can see God work bigger in our lives. Numbers 14:26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and he was mad in the verses before. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur or complain? They complain. How long shall I deal with these guys that complain? That complain against me. I have heard their complainings or murmurings of the children of Israel, which they complain against me. This is what cut them. This is what dropped them dead. When we just read that many of them fell, this is where the promise starts, that they're going to fall. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and up, which have complained against me. So we can flip back to Corinthians, but that was the big deal. Complaining. And that's really what when Jim wrote that there, that having an attitude of thankfulness is the key to controlling what you think. In the renewed mind, when it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, living sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God. You can see it. You can do it with the renewed mind. That's what you got to have, though. So 20 and up, verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. We just read it. Now, these things were our examples. We go back and we look at those things for examples for our lives. Really what not to do a lot. But to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And I went back and looked at all the references here. We're not going to have time for all that. But this one section where they lusted, they got like surrounded and by fire and consumed by fire. And it was just a big mess. And it says in there that they had lusted. You know, I don't know. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, can you think of what that might be when they sat down? They were eating, drinking, they were committing idolatry in a big, big golden cow kind of way? The golden calf time. That was right at the giving of the law. I mean, Moses was up on the mountain with Joshua, had the tablets, and he comes down, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. It doesn't really do it justice because Joshua thought a war was going on as they're coming down. I mean, they lost their dang minds. They were going nuts. They were being crazy down there. And and then I think Aaron says, they said, this is our God that delivered us from Egypt. The stupid cow, they're saying that down there. I mean, they had lost their minds. And then what happened when Moses came down? How many people got killed? 3,000. 3,000, right then.
About 3,000.
Day of Pentecost, how many people were born again right after the giving? It's about 3,000. See, this stuff was written for our examples. This is why God put it in there. But the law was given. The law came, sin revived, and I died. The Spirit was given. The new baptism, the new birth, the baptism into Christ, it says, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the life-giving thing. But it was written for our example so that we don't do what they did. Because still, if we complain, we don't get the renewed mind, we don't get the blessings. If we live in that complaint instead of living in thankfulness, we're not going to be able to see God work as much, just like they wanted to get to go into the promised land. It was a land to be desired. It was a great land, flowing with milk and honey. But they didn't look at God. They complained, and then 40 years stuck in the wilderness. And then 20 and up, everybody died. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000, which that was a crazy thing, because they had fornication, I don't know so much, but I know they had done idolatry big time. They went with this other country's gods, and I think it was Aaron ran in and killed somebody just to stop the curse. There's 23,000 people.
It was the high priest's kid who did that.
Oh, it was? Yeah, it was like nuts. But yeah, 23,000 people died. It was idolatry, really, is what the main thing was. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur, complain. You, don't complain. As some of them also complained and were destroyed of the destroyer. It's a big deal for us to not murmur. It's listed in the top 5 things not to do right here.
Yeah.
You know, don't be an idolater, basically. That was the main one. don't complain. I mean, it's a big deal. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we'll start in verse 16. Rejoice evermore, always. Pray without ceasing in everything, in all that we do, in everything. This is where we live our lives from. We're giving thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. This is God's will. Hello. You ever want to know God's will? Here it is. It says it. Be thankful. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Don't quench it. Don't put it out. Don't murmur. But look, you know, it will. You'll quench it. You'll stop God from working in your life. Thankfulness is super important. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. So they were baptized into Moses by the cloud and by the sea. We read that. So we're going to start in verse 28 and we're going to watch them get baptized. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, this is the whole Egyptian army, and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as, how many?
One.
God, like I said, he washed Egypt right off their backs. Washed them away. Washed Egypt out. There wasn't even one. Didn't smell at all like an Egyptian anymore. Not one left. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now let's go over to the next chapter. Now here's their response. They just got let out. They just saw this huge miraculous thing. This is cool. And, you know, I don't know what kind of songs they wrote back then, but they don't rhyme in King James. So. But this is the song they sang. So then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. What a great attitude to have, huh? Imagine if we had that every day. Imagine if they kept this attitude. Mm-hmm. Have dashed the peace in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against you. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as nothing. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. He just blew and. You think it really was a big wind, Jim, that split it like that?
Yeah, that's what it says.
That's what it says, right?
The wind just kept coming right from the
end. He just blew it. Oh, cool story, everyone. I don't know if everybody's heard this. One time, we used to live on a dam, on a big pond in Augusta. And so every day, took the girls out. And I was fishing every day when I get home from work. And so I'm out there fishing. I got Olivia's 1.5, 2. Grace is 4 or something like that. And we go down the dam and there's a ball, a little beach bouncy ball or whatever. And so we're playing with it. I quit fishing and everything and we're kicking it. And then we went on a rock and they wanted to go find special rock or walks. We went on a walk. They wanted to find special rocks. So we're digging around looking for rocks. And then they got bored of that. So we're walking back down the dam and Kelly called and she said, dinner's ready. So we're heading back towards the house, and the wind had been blowing So from the dam out towards the water, it blew the ball way out. And then Grace is like, I want my ball. And I'm like, hey, dinner's ready. We got to go. And she's like, go home and get the boat, because we had a canoe. I was like, I'm not putting the boat in. Dinner's ready. We got to go home. She's like, oh, I want the ball. I said, look, I'm not getting you that ball. I said, if you want the ball, you can ask God to get you that ball. I said, but I'm not doing it. And she goes and stood right on the dam. And she goes, God, can I have my ball? And I'm not kidding. A cold, strong wind went straight. And it had been blown this way. Hit straight in the feet. And the ball blew right up to her feet. And she prays. And then I'm sitting there like, God, you better do something. I just put you on the line, bro. And so I started speaking in tongues. And then that wind hit. And then it blew it right to her feet. And the whole time it's coming at her, she's going, it's working. It's working. And it landed right there at her feet. So this wind had to have been I felt the wind of God that day. This had to have been some really crazy feeling, just to see the water split. And they had to have felt the wind as they went through it. Eight. With the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Doubt is blow with thy wind. The sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O God, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Here we go. We're going to the holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. They had a great attitude, a fantastic attitude. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm shall they be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. They were baptized that day into Moses. They were led from slavery to freedom, from the land of misery and hard work to the land of promise. They were heading there. Likewise, we too. We were baptized. We have been taken from slavery to sin, a miserable existence, to a life of more than abundant, more than conquerors. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to close here. Or chapter 3. We're going to close here. We're just going to start in verse 1. Since we have been risen with Christ, since we've been baptized, since we've been brought into this new life, seek those things which are above. We look at those things. We look at how big God is, how much of the inhabitants and the enemies he's going to drive out from before us in our lives. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. We got a lot to be thankful for. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, or inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them, but now you also put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as elected of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye what?
Thankful.
Be ye thankful. We've been brought to it. We've been baptized. We've been brought to this new life. Mm-hmm. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, in singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We celebrate our victory like they did, except ours is even bigger. It's eternal. They were brought to a physical place. Ours is the place God built, you know, that they were, Moses and those guys were really looking for. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, our living Lord, our Savior, that baptized us into the new life, freed us from being slaves to sin, gave us a life more abundant, made us more than conquerors. We sing, we dance with joy, just like the children of Israel, only our greater, our victory is greater. It is eternal. In all that we do in word or deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Okay? So God bless you guys. I'll pray. So Father, I just thank you for blessing us, for giving us another wonderful day to live, to love, to walk with you, and to know your word. And I thank you, God, for a wonderful day and a wonderful week ahead for all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.